I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Grave Digger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with
Benzes. See notes by the layers. True to life players. What's up, Packers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by beautiful Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Joining me this early Thursday morning is none other than my friend, Gilbert Brown. Gilbert, how are we doing, buddy?
Okay today, brother. Doing okay, man. You know, it's just... we had little droppings of snow yesterday, so just sitting in the house looking out the window like old sad puppy dog.
Yeah, this the quarantine is not being helped by the by this weather in the upper Midwest. I see the 10-day schedule, but that same warm day that was supposed to be 3 days away is always 3 days away. It seems like it's running away from me, and it's driving me absolutely insane.
Yes. Wintertime, man. What is this, April? My God.
It is. It's not only is it April, it's mid-April. those of you that are on the two paychecks a month, you get paid on the 1st and the 15th. The 15th happened. It was yesterday, and we still are just, fighting the good fight here. Snow on the ground in the upper Midwest, it's tough. But, maybe, Gilbert, if being that we can't all really go outside, maybe it's best. I think some of this quarantine, this COVID-19 quarantine, would be difficult if it was 73 and sunny.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably would be even worse. Yeah, you're right.
You had a funny quarantine story in the pre-production meeting. Your brother almost had to get after some people.
Yeah, I ain't talking about stupid people, man. It's just like they're outside playing basketball. I'm like, okay. He said, man, they're outside playing basketball. Quarantine now, but everybody outside playing basketball. 20 dudes, five man teams or whatever. And the police roll up and give everybody a ticket, which is probably right because you're supposed to have your butt in the house or distance yourself, not outside playing basketball. Oh my God. So everybody got probably $500 ticket.
That's right. Not so good. Stay inside. Not stay good. Inside or you might get a $500 ticket.
Or more. They talk about raising. I mean, because Detroit is a hot spot, man, So you need to pay attention, man.
Right. Probably a hot spot because of those guys playing basketball. I'm sure there are other reasons, but take this stuff seriously.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I like not giving other people money like that. So please.
Right. Yeah.
Please don't.
You got better things to do with $500. We all do.
For real.
We all do. All right, as we are wont to do on this show, we will hit the news, and kind of the only news that we have, certainly since the last time we did a show, is that the Packers family lost one of their own, lost Hall of Famer Willie Davis yesterday. Gilbert, I saw you posted on Facebook that you were heartbroken. I think it's a common thing. It's a brotherhood. I think you do a lot of these events, with former Packers. It's certainly a fraternity. He's a defensive lineman as well as part of that fraternity. I just want to give you the opportunity to talk about Willie and tell any Willie stories that you might have. I had a chance to go back and rewatch America's Game, the Super Bowl I America's Game. Really cool, some of the stories that Bill Curry tells about Willie and listening to Willie tell stories about that team. He was such a leader and such a force. My friend Corey Banky, who is co-founder of Cheesehead TV, trumpets Willie as the Packers' all-time leader in sacks. Just because Clay Matthews has the statistical record, but if you ask any of the old statisticians before sacks became an official stat, Willie would have ended up with the most sacks in the history of the Packers. So just a phenomenal player and a phenomenal leader. And any Willie stories or things that you remember about Willie?
I mean, there's a lot of things. there's a lot of things that you know about Willie that, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, he was an awesome football player, awesome humanitarian. It's tough, man. You know, it's definitely what you said when you said I put on Facebook heartbroken, because, you know, it's just one of those things where I always tell and try to tell the people, and we only got so, as a Green Bay Packer, we only got so many legends left, and I call them my national treasures. I mean, Jerry Kramer, oh my God, I love that man to death too. Just one of those things where you sit back, man, and you cherish what you got and what you got left. And Willie Davis was one of those guys that he really meant Green Bay Packer. You know, back then, you know, like you saying about sacks. I mean, look at Deacon Jones, man. I mean, if you start collecting them sacks together, Deacon would have more than what they said he had. You know, just like Willie Davis, man. So did and Willie Davis is a guy that was an undersized defensive lineman doing the things that he was doing. You know, he came back to Green Bay, not as much as like Jerry and them guys, but when he did come, everybody was around him, you know, and just picking his brain and talking to him, and he's just a warm individual to be around. Yeah, I mean, Packer Nation is hurting today because we lost a true champion on the field and off the field. And you know, some of those memories, I want to keep to myself because he lives through those memories for me. And you know, some things you like to say, some things you just like to keep to yourself, because it's just one of those things where, you know, it's hard to reflect on things, and then you see his face, and you see the laugh, or then you see the mannerisms, and then you turn, you know, the Sports Center was on, and you see this, and you see that, and you go back and look at old stuff, and it hurts, man. It hurts. It hurts me today to even talk about it, but, you know, you got to talk about it. You know, you got to get it out, and he's just one of those legends that it's going to be sorely missed, and we lost another Green Bay national treasure.
For sure, and I encourage people, as I mentioned, to go back, and I think most of them – well, actually, you know what, folks? The NFL during the COVID-19 crisis has made Game Pass available for free, and I would say 90%+ of the people that are utilizing Game Pass are either going back and watching the coaches' film or – are just going back and watching replays of games, and that's great. But I believe Game Pass includes all of the America's Game documentaries. So obviously 1, 2, 31, and 45 are all there. But as I mentioned, Super Bowl I, I think basically each one has two or three guys that they do first-person camera shots on and tell the story of winning that Super Bowl. For example, 45 is Rodgers, Woodson, and McCarthy. Those are the three guys that they have tell the story of Super Bowl 45. And this one is, I think, Bill Curry, Willie Davis, and that might be it. I can't recall at this exact second, but Bill Curry tells this awesome story about Willie Davis kind of stalking him after practice one time, and he thought, oh boy, you know, I'm going to get a tongue lashing from a veteran now. And Willie just kind of walked up to him and said, I think I've been watching you play. I think you can make this team. I think you can help us. And just sort of, you know, kind of bringing him along and saying not to get down when Ray Nitschke smashes you in the face mask, and not to get down when Coach Lombardi you know, kind of rips you a little bit. And just the way that he was an emotional leader for those teams, as I mentioned, you can kind of get a feel for some of that by going back and watching that America's Game. And as I mentioned, right now, the NFL is making Game Pass available for free. So it's an hour of your time that, guys, I absolutely promise you is worth it. Not just because, you know, we lost Willie, because it's part of Packers history, and it's really phenomenal. In fact, you know, we're going to talk about some stuff to do as far as some quarantine stuff. Hey, that's a phenomenal way, if you're a Packers fan family, to spend 4 hours today would be to get that free Game Pass account and watch America's Game, Super Bowl I, Super Bowl II, Super Bowl 31, and Super Bowl 45. Gil, were you a part of the Super Bowl 31 America's Game at all?
No, man, they let them pretty boys do all that stuff, man. They don't let us big uglies do nothing.
I think I can't remember for the life of me. I'm sure.
No, I know it's all pretty boys, man. They ain't let us do nothing.
I'm sure it was. I think it was Brett.
Pretty boy.
Yeah, I think it was Brett. I think it was. I know it was Holmgren. Yeah. And then I don't know for the life of me. Oh, it's Desmond, another pretty boy.
Yeah, I'm pretty boy, man. Yeah. Don't let us big uglies do nothing.
Desmond Brett, and Coach Holmgren. I'm sure Mike would appreciate you calling him a pretty
boy. Oh, yeah, he get on his bike, he a pretty boy. Man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, the 31's great. 31 is awesome. I like that one a lot. You know, Favre and Holmgren and Desmond are all pretty phenomenal stories.
They need to go back and do it from the big man's perspective.
Yeah. That'd be great. Have you and Santana and maybe Frankie Winters do it?
Yeah, on all of it. Yeah, on all of them. Yeah.
Desmond actually tells the story of the time he forgot to come out for the second half kickoff.
Yeah, but he a pretty boy, so, you know. He better have came back out and did something right.
He's probably changing shoes or getting his wristbands right or something.
Oh, yeah. You know, picking his hair out, making sure it's picked out right.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of place. All right, guys. As we mentioned, you know, this is it's a difficult time, and it's a difficult time for everybody. We want to just take the time to talk about our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And I want to just kind of bring it kind of beyond that, because I know the Packers are such a worldwide brand. You know, we get downloads in a ton of areas. Obviously, you know, Gilbert's in Detroit. I'm in Fargo, North Dakota. This is a big family. It's one that sprawls all around the country. And I just want you guys to do what you can. And I know it's probably tough on you, tough for your family as well. And some of you maybe are local business owners. And that's really where I want the focus today is just local business. And that includes Stadium View Sports Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And I'm not saying that chain restaurants and Walmart and Taco Bell aren't important. I mean, I get that they're a part of our daily lives. I understand that. But these local places that have people that you know and that you love, that are around and that are, you know, trying to make it through these times, it's difficult. It is tough. And, you know, they had been doing online ordering, takeout, and delivery. And right now they're closed. The way to support, and it's not just Stadium View, guys, it's a ton of local businesses, but buy online gift cards. If you can spend a couple $100 or spend $100 or spend $50 or spend $20, spend $10, whatever you can spend. You know you're going to use it when everything opens back up, but right now they need the help. If you can, Stadium View has really cool apparel as far as they've got sweatshirts right now. They've got stocking caps. If you're you know, going out for a walk, going out for a run, staying socially distant, but want to get outside a little bit, they've got hats that'll keep your ears warm. They've got cool Nike polos if you want to play some socially distanced golf if you're in one of those states that is going to allow that to happen. Just do what you can, guys, not just for our friends over at Stadium View, but do what you can for local business. If they are offering takeout, they are offering delivery, you know, try to do that. I know it gets expensive sometimes, but try to do that 1, 2, 3 times a week and just keep these local businesses going, because they're valuable parts of the community that we are really going to want around after this is done. And I know that that's one thing, Gilbert, that you're looking forward to, is seeing all of our friends at Stadium View once the season comes back.
Yeah, you gotta think about the employees too, man, because it's kind of hard to pay employees if no money's coming in. And if whatever you can do, I mean, we ain't saying go out and buy 15 hats, buy one hat. But if each person that's listening buys a hat or does something for their local communities, their mom and pop stores, all those different things, man, it's just, because you know, the people that's supposed to buy is struggling too, because, you know, a lot of them don't have jobs, you know, so we got to figure out a way to support. And remember that Stadium View is a place that not long do they do great things and sell good food and great atmosphere, they do things in the community too as well for local kids and different things and different organizations. So it's time that for everybody to switch around and help each other. So hopefully this will blow over soon and everybody get back to work. But until then, let's take care of each other.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way of putting it, Gilbert. Just do what you can to help your fellow man in this time, and do what's right, and we'll get through this together for sure. And that's kind of all for that time. Gilbert, I want to kind of not necessarily just talk about Willie, but it's something that we have discussed in the past. And something that you took a tremendous amount of pride in, as far as not going and playing for another team, always having that, you know, as Rodgers put it, you know, when he told everybody to go home for the bye week, carry the G, have that be a part of your life and understand what that means to people. Kind of tell us what it's like about with life after football and why it's a little bit different, or how it's a little bit different being a Green Bay Packer than maybe another place, or why it is such a brotherhood, why it is such a fraternity.
I mean, it speaks for itself, man. A lot of people know, and for the people that don't know, if you look back at the Green Bay Packers, it starts with tradition. And so it's a handful of teams that got the greatest tradition. I mean, it's us, it's the Bears. I mean, if you go back and look at the time football started, you know, it's the Bears and us, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like the tradition that we have and the great players that we have. And people always talk, Dallas, America's team, that boils me, because they don't have the tradition we have. I mean, you go back and you look at the great games, the great players, the great atmosphere, the stadium that don't, you know, we might have a new brick, but under that brick is the old brick. You know what I mean? It ain't been moved, ain't been touched, you know, it's still there. And it's just one of those things where you go back and you look at all those old fields and you try to say, oh, well, that was before the Mini Mart was there. That was before this street was there. That was before, you know, it's amazing to go back and look at the things in the film and the tradition and then stack that up against anybody else. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. So all that and being a part of it, and you'll see how many guys have went to other teams but come back and retire as a Green Bay Packer, because they want their name to say former Green Bay Packer or Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packer or something in them realm of playing football. Because you don't want to go to a place in him. But there's that former Detroit Lion. Who? What? That's that former Minnesota. Man, don't nobody care about that. They care about putting their G on their side for the rest of their life and being able to understand that it's about tradition, family, friends, fans, everything that belongs to a Green Bay Pack. So I am proud to say that I never played for another team. I'm proud to say that I'm a Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer. I'm proud to say that I'm a Super Bowl champion. And I'm proud to say that we got the best fans in the world. So it's a great thing to be a Green Bay Packer, my friend.
Very well said. No, we're supposed to not be shilling for Stadium View anymore, but at that place, and you know, I'll never forget, and I've told this story on the show before. My buddy and I are in town for a game. It's long before I was part of the media, long before any of this Packer Report stuff happened. And we're just having a beer at Stadium View just before a game, trying to kind of get loose a little bit. And all of a sudden, you know, right through the door walk, Jerry Kramer and Paul Hornung and are headed to the back area to, you know, meet with fans and kind of socialize and maybe sign a couple autographs and handshake. And it was like, man, these are absolute legends. And the whole town is like that, especially on game weekend. The Packers Hall of Fame, the stadium, obviously, but even, you know, you look at the painted fences around the actual arena, everything about the town. I mean, walking around and seeing the statues and all the different things that are just on, you know, Oneida and Lombardi and those streets. It's like being in this giant, and I know it's not the biggest market in the world, but it's like being in this just museum of football. And a lot of the time, you know, like I said, it's a living museum. You're seeing, you know, legends, whether you go to a Gilbert Brown tailgate party or you're just kind of around, you're just about guaranteed to run into somebody who's in either the Packers Hall of Fame or the Pro Football Hall of Fame or both. Mm-hmm. And it's a different thing, man. And something that I think is really appreciated. And people sometimes, I think, compare it to almost like a great college football program. And I have to say, I agree. I mean, I've been to Wisconsin, I've been to Iowa, been to Kansas State, been to some of these more Midwestern campuses, but these Midwestern programs where it's just in people's blood. I mean, they fly the flag. They have the Packers bird feeder outside their house. Their mailbox is probably green and yellow. It's just part of who they are. And, you know, as we mentioned, we lost one. We lost one yesterday in Willie, and it's tough. It's tough on everybody. And, you know, we just wanted to take a little time and kind of reflect on what carrying the G is all about and what being a Green Bay Packer is all about. Gilbert, what kind of wanted to give you some time here and kind of have you give folks some advice or what's on your mind? Kind of how are you passing the time now that you've had so many consecutive weeks inside your house with your family?
Trying to stay low, stay out the way, man. Shoot, man. It's you know, you try to find things to do and look on YouTube or something like that and look for shows that, you know, that you ain't seen in a while. I set up and I'm a big comic book fan. Went back and watched, they got something on YouTube, Superman, like 1940s. What's the guy's name? Max Fleischer. I'm not saying the name right, but he made some cartoons back in 1940-something. And to see the content that he put out way back then, and the advancements that he did, he made some kind of machine where it made the drawing look different in certain ways. I mean, the shadows just on the people's faces and clothes and different things, and just the way it was drawn, it was ahead of his time. And I had to sit there and I watched. He only made like 17 or 18 episodes of it. And just to sit back and watch this way back then, to me, the way it's drawn up and the way everything is better than some of the cartoons that they're doing today. And it was just amazing just to sit around. Just amazing to sit down and watch those things put together and the way he put it together. It was amazing. And just to go back, and you got the time to do these things now. So you would sit up and you would think that, you know, people would appreciate things more by looking at it and finding it out. And it's pretty awesome, man, if you go back and look at things.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to specifically, we tried to give some people, you know, runs of movies, maybe trilogies, series, you know, obviously, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You start that from the beginning, you're gonna be good for about a week. Me and the kids have done the Harry Potter. That's 8 movies. You know, that's good stuff if you've got kids. Mm. But the video games is what I kind of wanted to talk about. So
yeah,
two obvious ones. I think right off the bat, number one, franchise mode on Madden. Where you get to do everything. I mean, you get to trade players, sign players, draft players. You know, you're running the team, playing all 16 games, trying to get to the Super Bowl. You can get real deep into that. You know, you even the way Madden is now, you can run practice. I mean, you could have a 16-game season that takes you 2 weeks to play if you want. And the other one, is if you're lucky enough to still have it lying around. The last year that they made NCAA football was 2014. I've got a copy of NCAA 14. And Barstool Big Cat is doing the same thing on their social right now. He started over. I think he started at Toledo as a coach, and now he's at Florida State. And you do everything. You do the recruiting, you know, the who redshirts, who doesn't redshirt. You set the schedule. Play the games. So I'm right now I'm recruiting at North Carolina, maybe trying to get a bigger job. But right now I started a dynasty on NCAA football 14. That's a phenomenal, and I don't want to call it a time waster, but it's a phenomenal use of time is those two. But a lot of these games too are available now because it's been so long since they've been released in packages. For example, the Arkham games from Batman are phenomenal. I think Rocksteady was a studio that produced those, but those are available, I believe, on both PlayStation and Xbox. And you can get, I think, the first 3 games in a pack. The Arkham games from Batman will absolutely take you a couple days apiece. Gears of War, I know for sure, is available in a pack. Halo is available in a pack. We're talking packs of 3 or 4, you know, full games that when they came out would have cost $59 like every other game. And even just the single player modes of those will take you 5, 6, 7 hours to complete. So if you're looking, that those would be some of my suggestions, the Halo series, Gears of War series, Arkham series, or certainly the, you know, NCAA football, if you can get your hands on a copy, or just the old school, start a franchise in Madden. Gilbert, you got any video games around the house that you're playing during this time of extended free time?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a lot of different games. I'm not a big play Madden type guy. You know, I played
enough football.
Yeah, I'm play. Oh, my kids, I'll play with them if they want to get the head beat in or something. You know, but. My games are like, you know, kind of like what you were saying, like the shooting games. Like I love the Wolfenstein franchise. They got about 4 or 5 games. I like God of War. Oh, I love God of War. That's
another one that's available in a pack. You can get multiple God of War games in one crack here.
Oh, yeah. I love that type of stuff, man. I even one of my, it's silly, but one of my favorites is going back playing all the Crash Bandicoot, because there's so many different, and you can play them dang things all day, Crash and Knack, you know, it's just a fun game, you know, you ain't gotta, you know, worry about too much killing and all that stuff going on, just something that you can sit there and your kids watch you play or you watch them play type things, you know, them different type of things, you know. Some of the games that, you know, keep your time, you know, keep you sitting up there like, man, let me play this for a couple hours, then go do this, that, and the other, and run back because, you know, you still got to beat this other board or different things. So it's those good games, you know. But, you know, like Wolfenstein is not a that's not a family game, but it's a good game for you can have a good time. So, I mean, just different games like that you like to involve yourself in, that's, you know, that's time consuming type games and different things that, you know, that you do during your quarantine time.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we're in an unprecedented situation where we just have more free time, and it's specific kind of free time. It's inside free time, and that's something that I don't know if people are used to, and so we're just trying to kind of help with the way that you utilize that free time in a way that maybe doesn't drive you insane, and it's important to stay physically and mentally healthy at these times when
it is,
you know, your normal social appointments are out the window. Maybe somebody goes to the gym 3-4 times a week. That's out the window. It's important to keep the mind right and just stay physically and emotionally healthy at these times. It's not just COVID-19 that's scary. It is all these adjustments and shakeups to our daily routine that are wild. All right, guys, I want to give you, you know, we've been giving you prospects to watch as another way to kind of pass the time and also to become a little bit more educated about the NFL draft, which actually kicks off exactly a week from today. Gilbert and I are doing this this Thursday pod. That seems to be the rhythm that we've gotten into ever since COVID forced Gilbert to stay inside and answer all my damn text messages. So we're good. Mm. And today I'm gonna focus on my neck of the woods, the small school guys. You guys know that I cover North Dakota State. And so I'm going to give you a couple of small school guys. This should be a bunch of players that are available to watch. I mentioned my friend Mark Jarvis. That's at What's On Draft on Twitter. Has a database of games and workout numbers and all these things. Like I said, you can become a little bit more educated on some of the guys that you might hear the Packers take. You know, you might know or have heard about the guy they take in the first round, but this is an opportunity to maybe know about the guy they take in the fifth round, or maybe the guy that they sign as a free agent. So my top guys that I want you to take a look at, number one, Adam Trautman, tight end, Dayton. I think he's the best tight end in the class. I don't think this is a particularly good group of tight ends. It's certainly not where last year's class was. I've got about four guys, including Jay Sternberger, who is the going to be the tight end with Green Bay next year. I think I have about four guys from last year's class ahead of the top guy here in Adam Trautman, but played for Dayton, which is an FCS school. They were a phenomenal basketball program this last year, but Trautman was really an excellent tight end at the FCS level. Absolutely dominated. The question, if you will, is long speed. Another guy to watch, Ben Bartsch. He was a left tackle at St. John's University in St. Cloud, Minnesota, Division III, but you've seen both starting guards, actually, for the Tampa Bay Bucks are Division III guys. You can find, as Gilbert would say, some of the big uglies at some of these smaller schools. Ben had a really good NFL combine, did not give up a sack his last 2 years in college. I know it's Division III, competition, but that's still very impressive. My guy, Derek Tuska, he's a pass rusher, 6'4", 250, one of the kind of the lighter outside linebacker type pass rushers. Think sort of a Kyler Fackrell type. He's with North Dakota State. There's tons of opportunities. Basically, every one of NDSU's games is on YouTube if you want to take a look. He was very, very good, especially this last year. Multiple-time All-American, just one-time conference player of the year, but a very, very good football player. Akeem Davis Gaither, this is an FBS guy, but played at Appalachian State in the Sun Belt. He's a linebacker. Interesting role for him. He was kind of a hybrid. Dropped into coverage, but also was a little bit of a pass rusher, even though he was 220 pounds. Freaky athlete, really fun to watch. And then the last guy that I want to give some love to is another one from my neck of the woods, the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and that is Jeremy Chin at Southern Illinois. Crazy, crazy athlete. Jumped 41 inches and 11 foot 6 broad jump at 220 pounds. Not a lot of human beings on the planet as athletic as Jeremy, but he put some nice stuff on tape as well. So if you have the opportunity, watch some of those small school guys, become a little bit more educated about this year's crop of draft prospects. And that is all the time that we have for today. So we certainly want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Gilbert for his time today. We always, always, always want to thank Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall, and remind you to support local during these times. All right, everybody. We'll be able to catch you with one more Gilbert Brown podcast before the draft. Go Pack, go.